Yeah. Okay. So great. The recorder is going. So just for clarity's sake, let me just say this is feedback for Gina Nelson at the end of the online calling intensive workshop. And on the phone is John Hard, Sam Williamson, and Gary Barkalow. And this is May 13th, 2016. Okay, so we'll just start with some questions. Sam, you always have the most questions. So why don't you start?
Okay. By the way, I loved all that you wrote. You know, the three of us have commented that you've shared more than most people do. You've been really honest, and we feel honored that you did that, Gina. So, I mean, we're honored. And I've said to you this before online, but when we have campfire conversations or when we have the Tuesday night calls, you always share interesting things when you share something. I'm always intrigued and looking forward to your comments. So I just want to – that's feedback before the feedback, okay? That's feedback
All right.
before the question. So in your chapter 11, which we call Connecting the Dots, you have a little section. It's on page 3 where – well, bottom of page 2 it says, is there any way that word has become clearer? And you go on and you talk about a few different things. And then in brackets, you say, the only area of uncertainty is whether to finish my degree, obtaining a degree in biblical counseling or something similar to equip me. I would say I've been haunted by this question. I've started classes three different times, three different schools, only to quit soon after I started, not due to a lack of ability, but instead I questioned my decision. So here's my question. There's sort of two questions. One is, what makes you uncertain of pursuing biblical counseling that you would drop out, and what would you need to make it 100% certain?
What makes me uncertain? Well, what first comes to mind is fear. And to define that a little bit more, kind of right back to what I was saying, fear of making the right decision or not making the right decision. And to bring that down a little bit more, I'm trying to kind of decipher this myself. I would say in the context of my husband and making the decision that's best for both of us, I would say I often am allowing finances to weigh a little bit there as well. I think what I'll hear in my voice or in my mind is this okay? Can I do that?
Let me see if I can rephrase what you said.
Okay.
Just to make sure I understand, wrong. That's the reason I'm rephrasing it, so you can say no, Sam.
Yeah,
no.
Yep.
So you could have said, I've stopped taking it because of financial reasons. We're too tight on money.
Yes.
That's one way you could have said it. Another way you could say it is, I'm not sure that I should do this, and therefore I wonder if we should invest the money.
Say that again.
So one way is to say, we just don't have the money. I can't afford it.
Right.
That's one way to. Another way to say it is, I'm not sure I should do it, and therefore I wonder if we should invest the money. We could do it if we really worked at it, but because I'm not sure, I don't know if we should really work at it. Which of those would you say it was?
Well, it leans towards the second, but the reality is we can afford for me to go to school. There's no reason why we couldn't. I will break that down and say, is that the best way to use our resources? Could we give this to somebody else in need? You know, those are things that immediately come to mind. Is this the wisest way to use the resources God has given us?
Okay,
and
so
So
my second question, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but my second question is, what would you make what would make you 100% sure? Handwriting on the wall?
Yeah, that helps. But I think what would make me 100% sure, if I could see into the future and know how that schooling would be used for God's good, you know, his glory, for that it would be beneficial, you know, that it would be effective for other people, not just for me. I'm kind of driven that way a bit, not to say that that's a good drive, but yeah. Does that make sense?
So what makes biblical counseling, what you know about it, what makes it attractive?
Yeah. Oh, because I really feel that that is one of the best things we can offer people when they're struggling. I feel his word is such a great source of life, you know, how to live life and to deal with all the struggles and problems, but also just how to follow Christ, you know. And so to me, his word, helping people understand that, helping them know Christ, if that's where they're at, is key to moving forward in anybody's life. So to receive further teaching for me, it just, I feel like it would equip me to do that even better, to help people better. The more I spend time there and get equipped, then I can help others.
What schools did you try?
I started with a non-accredited school. It's called, I'm drawing a blank. It's based out of Indiana, or it's in Indiana. And I did that for a year, actually, and took the courses. And then I'm like, well, this is silly. I'm not getting accredited. Why am I doing this? You know, again, I start questioning myself.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I'm crazy. When I do school, I dive in really deep. And so I put a lot of time and energy into it. And so I'm like, oh, again, I'll be like, well, am I using my time? I should be going in and helping people instead of spending all the time just studying, you know. And so anyway, I stopped. And then I enrolled with Liberty University and started in the very first week and then just stopped. And a lot of fear was happening there. And I was really in a very unstable place emotionally yet. And so that one makes more sense to me as far as why I dropped out. And I think that was okay. And then this most recently is Grace University. And that's actually how I found out about Noble Heart Ministries, because I signed up there. I did one course, just a New Testament survey course, thoroughly enjoyed it, but again began to question, is this the best use of my time, our resources? And so I stopped, and then I was going to start again just this past January, ready to go the first week, and I backed out. And in the moment, I really do feel there was just a lot of fear and just uncertainty in my heart. But the cool thing was I went ahead and ordered all my books, and one of them was to listen to one of Gary's tapes. So that's how I found out about Noble Heart, and that's why I ended up here. So, yeah, so those are the three in particular. I've also had contact with a couple others as well and had conversations about doing different programs, but just never went through with it. So, yeah.
I'll let one of the other guys ask questions.
I'd love to ask a question with that, Sam.
Sure.
That's a fascinating trail to go down, because, Gina, let me tell you what I'm curious about. You have been greatly helped, as actually the three of us have as well,
mm-hmm.
by the counsel of others.
Yeah.
You have a heart for it. You see deeply what can go on in the soul, the heart of a believer, and all the assault. To me, it's no question that you want to help that, but yet you question the value of increasing your skills in this. And like Sam and what you just said, it really isn't a money issue. It seems to be more of an issue of, is this really valuable for the kingdom of God, or are you just wasting this time and money on yourself?
Yes.
By the way, ultimately, Gina, we all have an answer for that question.
Oh, yes, right away. Exactly. So, but I'm going to hold back your feedback.
Okay.
So, you know, and yet, you know, it's almost as if you are second guessing the value that the impact you can have in other people's lives in this way, or if God really cares about you doing what you truly want to do. What do you think is at the core of this fear, this backing out, this stopping?
Core, I would say, you know, as much as I don't want to say it goes clear back to when I was young, but I really do feel it's core, which frustrates me a bit because it's like, okay. Anyway, just growing up in a home where you could not voice your thoughts, your emotions, your aspirations, you remain silent with any thing that you might want to share about, like, oh, I would like to do this. You know, that wasn't, that just did not exist in my home. And also growing up in a big family, and I was number 6 out of 7, I remember just constantly feeling like, one, you know, I'm one too many, I'm a burden. And, you know, there's, you know, by the time the plate got around to me, you know, the pickings were small, you know, and then that was just, you know, our home. We weren't in poverty, but, you know, we didn't have an abundance by any means. And so just that constant feeling of, you know, don't be too much for your family. Don't be a burden. Don't be an extra expense, you know. And I think that really is very core. I just, overcoming that.
So let me interrupt half a minute. One of my questions on my list is Gary continues to use a phrase. In fact, he'll say it better than I do, but he'll say, you know, your calling is a glory, a brilliance, a weightiness to your life. You know, so he uses that, a glory, brilliance, weightiness to your life. And I guess, you know, I want to ask you, do you believe, and I'm serious, do you really believe, are you so convinced in your life that there's a glory, brilliance, weightiness to your life?
Well, you know what I can easily say, because I believe in God and I believe in His Word and what He says. So His Word tells me that, and so I can believe that. I guess you would say in my mind, and have a faith in that. You know, I put my faith in that, but what creeps in, or what, I'm just going to be honest, you know, a doubt creeps in, you know, and again, that can be the voice of my childhood, it can be the enemy, that, no, that's not true, you know, and so, I'd say that's very core, that I struggle with that. And can tend to listen to those voices when I'm right in that crux of investing in my glory, you know. So.
Sorry, Gary, I interrupted you, but you believe, Gina, that there's a glory, brilliance, weightiness to Gary's life, or to John's life, or to my life?
Oh yeah, I love. Encouraging and helping other people see that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of my greatest joys is in helping others realize how valuable they are in God's sight. I know.
Oh, I understand it. Believe me, I understand it. But I'm laughing with you.
Yes, I know. I know.
Well, and one of the ideas that's so true, or that I find true, is this idea that what God has equipped, created in us to do for others, we really can't do for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
that's
where
God. Say that again.
Well, that that what God has given us to do for others,
yes,
we usually can't do it for ourselves.
Yes.
You know, people who are encouragers can't seem to encourage themselves. Like, you know, and you know, you can say it a thousand ways, but I really do believe that God does that to say, yeah, and in this area, I'm not going to let you live without needing others.
Right.
You know, so it's really, it's pretty common. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I have found that obviously those are the areas where God has spoken the loudest to me, you know, and I have, my intimacy with God, that's where it's the sweetest in a sense, because he has had to, he has chosen to relentlessly speak to my heart in those ways. And you're right, it's been through others, all different kinds of avenues. It's not been easy. Often it's been in very scary, hard places. But that's what he, I think, wants to speak most loudly to my heart, you know. And it's beautiful mm-hmm. when I finally hear it and listen to it and receive it. So,
So let me ask a quick question. And, John, I'm sorry. I probably just stepped on you. I'm sorry.
I'm okay.
But I'm going to. But I'm going to ask anyway now. So Gina, when you were talking to somebody with somebody over a cup of coffee or in a church office or any setting, you're talking with somebody, you know that something, there is a connection that's happening and it's very meaningful to you and to that person. What is the outcome that you see in this person's life, heart, whatever, that is most meaningful, gratifying to you? Like, you know, one person you may say, oh, they walk away feeling encouraged, or they walk away feeling more free, or they walk away having clarity now about what the issue is. What is that thing that when you see that, you go, okay, that made my day, my life right there?
Just right at the top is just that our time together, that his word, what he says, was brought into our conversation. His truth was spoken, and they want to know more. They're blessed in it in that moment by his word, but they want to know more. They want to go deeper in their relationship, and they know that it isn't what Gina is saying, it's what his word is saying. That just, that brings me great joy.
Okay, good. John?
Okay, I get to go.
Yes, you do. Oh, can I interrupt?
Yeah, go ahead. Gina, do you have your passion theme exercise in front of you?
Passion theme, yeah, just back with me.
That's the one where you see the movies and the speakers and the books.
Oh, yeah. That was an interesting exercise.
Well, I noticed at the very bottom, I loved it, you put really insightful exercise. What I was going to ask you to do, this is to get kind of a knee-jerk reaction, but what I want from you is a heart jerk. I want your heart to react.
Okay.
Just scan that. Take about 5 to 10 seconds and scan that whole page, and then give me your heart jerk reaction. What does that say about you in one sentence?
Okay.
That's a good question, John.
So what's your reaction?
Let me just look here one more time at the bottom here. yeah, it's the relational aspect comes out. Yeah, just that it involves people, people speaking into people's lives. This meeting people at their times of greatest need.
So at your very core,
yeah,
and I think this is how you just worded it just previous to this question, at your very core, the thing that makes you come most alive, that you know when you're doing it, your insides are about to bust. you just know, you feel God's pleasure as you're doing it.
Yeah.
And what is that? When you're doing
when there's when I'm sharing God's word. And when I'm sharing his truth.
You just said it a different way, which I think is think they're both true, but you said meeting people at their deepest need.
Yes, yes. It's those two connecting together. It's kind of, there's two parts. because when I reflected, you know, when I, it was really crazy with the movie part because I don't see myself as a moviegoer or, you know, like I said, I hadn't seen any of them more than once, you know, so I'm like, well, movies, they don't impact me. But when I did it, I'm like, oh, wow, these impacted me. but what impacts me or what I began to notice is there was this very, people were at a very, I guess, a time of crisis. I don't know if that's the best word. I don't really like that word. A time of great need, and somebody was there to meet with them. And they spoke, not necessarily in the movement, but they spoke into them. And for me, the speaking into them would be God's word. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking back through the movies, and okay, I think that answers the question for me. You guys take it from there.
Okay, I have a question.
Well, so let me.
Oh, go ahead, Gary. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay, quick follow-up question. That
sure.
And what you said to me, and that is this. So you're meeting with somebody, let's just say, and they open up their life to you by their admission for the first time to this level, like you talked about in your story, when, and you know, it was just, that was a profound moment when you opened up your life and then you found that you were safe, and you finally, you know, when we finally get the secrets and dark places out into the light, it's a turning point. So a person does that with you, let's just say this scenario, they do that with you. And they just say they have just experienced this profound sense of weight being taken off their shoulders that now they can actually kind of pursue God and healing in this. Mm. But they really never come back and say to you, oh, I want to get in the Word. I want to pursue God's truth in this.
Yeah.
They never do that. Is that an unsatisfactory moment? Do they need to, you see where I'm going? Because your answer to me was, I just want to see people thirsty for the word and understand the value of it and pursue it.
That's a really good question. Just because I kind of experienced a situation where I met with a gal for over 2 years, almost weekly, and that never really, it did to some extent, but you're right. It is really important for me to, I really do desire to see people have that hunger for God's word, or that they get that ultimately he is the answer to their problems in life. But we need each other in that, not to say, you know, that I don't want to give the pat answer of, well, just go to your Bible and open it up, and there you go. You're all better. You know, I know that to not be true in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want just that. Like, I meet with one person one time, and they're good. You know, I think there's. But it can be discouraging when you spend a long time with somebody and you don't see that hunger happening, you know, and realizing I can't. I'm not their savior. They need Jesus, and it's a work of the Spirit and all of those things. So I know I'm not the one to fix them. But getting back to kind of what you're saying is, yes, there's somewhat of a discouragement in my heart when I don't see that hunger or that desire to go after God's word. The other side of it, though, is I'm just kind of wrestling through things here in my mind because I'm thinking about this thing called listening and the value of that. And yet, this is good because often, you know, like going back to the whole schooling thing and trying to decide if it's something I should do or not, right up against that is, okay, what should my major be? You know, what am I going into here? And, you know, I've looked at psychology and just straight counseling or Christian counseling. And then I've, you know, done the biblical counseling and, or should I just do biblical studies because I love the Word of God and I just love going deeper there. And the guy that I did the biblical counseling certification with, that's what he told me to do. Just keep studying the Bible. That's your best resource. So your question is good for me because, or at least I want to share with you a little bit of my wrestle there with, yeah, what is my calling? You know, is it bringing the Word of God into people's lives and that context, or is it kind of counseling people with their struggles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Can you hear my little wrestling back and forth a bit?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I mean, I think that's why we're all kind of coming in and hovering around this. I don't want to call it an issue, but this question, because I think, and we haven't gotten feedback, but I think we can all see something that we believe is very core to you, but it's how do you get to what is the most true about you in this place in the body or your particular note in the song of heaven, if you will, versus you got to sing the whole song, you know, kind of thing.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is really good because if you would look at my life, and you have a little bit, I guess, but especially in the context of the church, I have, I'm not trying to applaud myself in any sense of the word, but I have this kind of real strong helper mentality a bit. And so I have been in every aspect of the church that a person could be almost, you know, I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not proud of that because I felt like the enemy just kept me busy. He just kept me busy and not really understanding what is my calling. And that's why I valued this course. And I think, you know, it's important because I have this tendency to just help wherever there's a need. And in so doing, I get confused in what is my calling, you know, what is it, God, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sam?
Okay. Gina, I'm going to find it just a minute. It was in your lifeline, I think. Man, I have it already. And then Gary starts going off in another direction. It was in your 1997 to 2009 time, page 1-5. You said, I now begin to work at Josiah's school as a janitor, once again pushing myself hard physically to the point of exhaustion, only intensified by the hour drive back and forth each day.
Mm-hmm.
So you work very hard at physical projects, even though...
Yes.
Pardon me?
Yes.
even though in your passion theme, no, not the passion theme, the other theme, cleaning is one of the things that you really didn't like. It didn't bring joy.
Exactly, yeah.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
If you were an outside person looking at you, yeah. looking at all these exercises, would you yeah. say that your calling is more related to physical-oriented things or spiritual, emotional, intellectual?
Hmm. Spiritual, emotional, intellectual. Is that what you said?
Of course, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I would say my calling is that, yes.
Is more related to spiritual, emotional, intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you pour yourself into so many physical things, like being a janitor? So much that you're exhausted.
Well, two things came to mind. One, you know, just reflecting back, and as I just reflect back, you know, all my life, not just my childhood, but I do like to keep busy. I like to keep, I don't sit still very long. So I like to keep my hands busy. And I'm saying the word like, you know, I think there's some energy there that happens when I keep busy with my hands. The other, I lost my train of thought a bit. Can you say the question again?
Well, if you think that your calling is going to be more physical, or
yes.
excuse me, spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and,
right.
and I'm not trying to make a distinction there, because there is a distinction,
sure.
but
yeah.
you were doing physical things like being a janitor. Why did you
right.
pour your life so much into
yes.
those physical things?
Okay, so yes, that's one reason. I do like to keep busy. There's energy that comes from doing those things. Another is I have been applauded in that area over and over again. And when you're applauded, you do good at this, you know. We love having, you know, it was kind of I got approval. You know. Sorry, they're still emotional there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom, she liked me because I gleaned for her, you know. And so you feel good. You feel like you are, again, I'm not a burden then. I'm being a help, you know. Yeah, there's something I'm tapping in here a little bit on my emotional side that when I do all of these things, you know, in the church context of the church, when I did it at school, you know, I'm applauded. And I guess that feels good, or it motivates me to keep doing it. There is that sense that I'm helping somebody. Like I said, I do feel there's, you know, this idea of being a helper is real strong or probably core to me. And so if I know I'm helping somebody or making their life easier, then okay. I'll do that, you know. There's just, I struggle a little bit with a mix of, am I just being a people pleaser, or is this really core to me, you know, that there is a true good satisfaction of helping other people. I think through all my kind of working through my emotional struggles and things like that, all of that kind of came to the surface. Up to that point, you know, again, I just thought, well, that's just who I am. I'm everybody's helper. I kind of define myself that way. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're answering partly from inside yourself. And I appreciate your honesty here. I mean, I think that
yeah.
we all do a lot of stuff because we've been applauded for it, even if it's not
mm-hmm.
what's supposed to be core to us, because
right.
we like the attention. I mean, that's tell me someone who doesn't like the attention, and I'll show you a liar.
Yeah, I mean, it motivates us. It motivates us. We're like, oh, okay, well, this is good. I'll keep doing it. Yeah.
But if you were to, again, be outside yourself, mm-hmm. having just read all the stuff
okay.
that Carrie, John, and I just
right.
read, would
right.
you say that this mysterious Gina person, the main way she's supposed to be helping is cleaning the dishes, or the main way she's supposed to be helping is helping people connect with God more?
Yeah. It just immediately, it's to help us connect with God more. I laugh because I just envision myself in, you know, doing the dishes, and my heart's like, I want to connect with people. And honestly, I feel like that was a transformation of God in my, a transformation by God's hand in my life. Because I grew up with an extreme fear of people.
Sure.
Extreme fear of people. And I don't believe that fear was of God, you know. And so he did a work there, and he began to change me. And one of the biggest places where that happened is when I was in that role as a secretary at Cornerstone, our church, and very task, you know, type job. And yet I had opportunity in the midst of that and to be involved in people's lives a bit. And the whole scenario there, you know, I spent a year where we didn't have a pastor, so I was kind of the person there being in a small church. And so I had a lot of people contact, and my heart just changed. Or there was just kind of an awakening, I guess. Maybe that's a better word, of, Lord, I don't want to work on this bulletin. I want to get on my knees and pray for this person and share with them God's truth and reach out to them. You know, that's what began to change. So the whole people thing wasn't a natural thing, or there was this element of fear that was definitely existing there for a long time.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, guys, I mean, these questions are really good. I feel like really amazing things are coming. I just want us to be aware we've already been asking questions for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I'm done with my questions.
All right.
Okay. And I'm, no, this is so good. So good, Gina, that I'm glad we're doing this, but
yeah.
I just want to watch the time. So, John, what else do you have?
Sure. Nope.
I'm just ready for the feedback. I don't have any more questions.
Yeah.
Okay. I probably have something here. Let me see here. Okay, so I'm curious, Gina, how did you remember so many specific lines in these movies?
Yeah, well, if you notice, I put in quotes. What I did is I went to plugged in movie review or whatever, or a couple. Well, I think that's the one I went to. And so some of those came from that, and so I noted that later.
Okay.
Saw that. But when I saw the quote, I'm like, yes. You know, it was creepy. I just, like I said, I didn't realize how much those movies impacted me. And yet, you know, and I went to that site where you could see all, like, the 200 movies or whatever, you know,
right.
That you mentioned. And it was just, like, instantly. I'm like, oh, yeah, yes. And then when I went to the review of them to kind of, you know, what was going on there, you know. Yeah.
Right.
So that's where that came from. A lot of those. The more recent one was when you had us watch. I can't even think of it now. But so those quotes were fresh in my mind.
Okay.
Forrest Gump. That one I'd never even watched before, but great movie. So.
Okay. Yeah, you did have quite a few quotes in that were made me want to watch it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So another quick question is, I'm going back to when you're in a kind of counseling situation with a person, and I'll put counseling in quotes. It could be a conversation. Either way, you're going into the person's heart story, whatever that is.
Yep.
What is your most favorite favorable context for that? Is it sitting in a coffee shop? Is it sitting in an office? Is it taking a walk together? Typically, where do you love for that to happen?
I would say in their home, at a table with a cup of coffee, or I love the context of the church. Something about that is, I don't know, I feel at home there, I guess. And so a couple of years back, I spent a long time meeting, like I said, with a gal, and we just meet in a Sunday school type room, but at a table. The table was because I have the Bible there, you know, and I like to have it just accessible, and not that I necessarily always open it up, but I'm pretty quick to open it up and be like, well, I know there's this verse somewhere here, and you know, after we've talked for a while. And so I just like a table for that reason, and yeah, there's something about that. And
okay,
yeah,
okay, so my last question, and that is, what, how was the picture exercise helpful for you? And if so,
yeah,
what was the most revealing, significant thing about that for you?
Oh boy, yeah, it was helpful, and especially when I kept having to break it down further, because you know, again, you just kind of end up with a bunch of pictures, and you're like, well, how do these all relate? And then I broke it down, and then even the writing of the words was interesting. I wish I had it in front of me, but. There was two things that come up that I'm thinking of right now. One was animals were, especially birds, and I just thought that was comical. I'm like, what is it with birds? But I think that comes from my mom. She's a bird lover or something. But anyway, but they're comical to me. The humor there, that was the one element, just the humor and how God expresses himself, reveals himself through creation, and that he makes me smile. And so that was just, it was like it just blessed my soul. It's my kind of my one of my connections with God is creation, where I just feel so close. It's like I know him in a more intimate way when I reflect on creation. And that, so there was that, and then the other was that I thought was really interesting, and I think you saw this, it's the ones I picked, that they were kind of like a focus, like a road or a path, and it was kind of always leading, and you know, you couldn't see the end of it, but kind of that, do you know what I'm talking about? Like the
train tracks.
Yeah,
I'm going through your pictures right now, looking at them.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, well, you have one called Direction Discovery, and it's a road that just kind of goes up over the horizon, and you can't see what's over it.
Yes, and also, yeah, just that idea of discovery or, you know, anticipation, a little bit of adventure. That's kind of God. I believe we have that. There's an anticipation, most importantly of his return and that, but even what he has for us tomorrow, you know. And I like to kind of pass it. I guess the word I'll equate with that is hope. I love to give people that sense of hope. I think that's what those pictures were saying to me, but yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, if you're ready, and John, you said you were ready right away, so if you're all ready, then I'd say, John, you want to start?
I'd love to.
Okay.
Okay. Gina, I've got about two pages of comments here, so I'll try to go fast.
okay, no problem.
The first thing I noticed was there was something in all of your, in all the narrative I was reading, there was something about the body of Christ at large that is important to you, not just on a local level, but the whole body of Christ. In connecting the dots, you'd love this. There was something about where God spoke to you at an early age and said, love my church. And then later you go overseas and you see the same thing. You see other cultures and different settings, different people, but you know, the church is the church. Truth is the truth. And I think there's something to your calling that sees this big, big picture of the glory of the body of Christ.
Yes.
You're also captured by God's glory, the big thing, the large story that he has written. And just going back to your days as a young girl on the farm, and you were just captured by his beauty, his majesty, the splendor of everything that you saw. And then I thought it was interesting, you said something about, you had a statement about music. You said all the parts coming together to tell a story to each heart. And I love the way you see that. That's not something that everybody sees. I think that's part of your calling, is to see this big picture all coming together, boiled down to a central thing, which would be very true for the Word of God. I mean, it's like you said, it's a conglomeration of dozens of writers, but they're all telling the same story.
Yeah.
And so I think you have a knack for seeing, or maybe just a desire for seeing the whole picture, the big picture, and then communicating that to a person who's in the midst of whatever their situation is, which is so crucial. When somebody is in, I just remember early in my career, I was in a desperate situation. I thought I was losing my career, and I'd only been in it for 3 years. And a friend brought me back to reality. He said, this is just a blip on the radar screen.
Yeah.
And he helped me see this is a tiny blip on the whole radar screen of my life. So anyway, I think there's something that about that you love to do, and that's important for you to give to someone. I also wrote down this: you love to plunge the depths of God's glory. And what I wanted to say is, keep in mind that when you're relating to another person's heart, Proverbs says their heart is like deep waters. And I think there's a way to tie the depth of God's glory into the depth of that person's heart. And I would encourage you, as you're talking with folks, really explore that depth that's in them. I think you've got such a strong biblical background, you can bring that to bear on whatever you discover.
Okay.
Let's see. The next thing. Your description of yourself as a biblical counselor. I want to try to expand your thinking. I think. Yes,
yeah.
You are absolutely sold on Scripture, but you're sold on truth.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're talking to someone, you may need to speak truth that isn't necessarily something that's in Scripture. For example, you may see something in somebody else that it's obvious to everybody else, it's obvious to you, but that person doesn't see it at all.
Okay.
And I think there's a place for you to speak truth. It may not be Scripture, but it's still true.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The next two things deal with the assault that's coming against you. And your current role at church, keeping classrooms organized and supplied, that in your experience exercise, I wanted to ask, what would it take to walk away from that? And I want you to feel the freedom to walk away from all this stuff. It's like you said, the enemy is keeping you busy. He's got you plunged into, and I'm going to quote your words, loyal acts of service. And they may be loyal acts of service, but, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, if it's not of love, then what good does it do me?
Yeah.
And, you know, God, he wants a friend, not a slave. He wants to partner with you, and he's put something in you that is a passion that's really, really phenomenal. Bringing the Word of God into people's lives, I mean, that is very powerful. And I could see the enemy saying, oh, well, I'm going to get her connected with people down on the floor scrubbing, and I'm going to get her connected with people helping them their organization. But the last thing I want is for her to connect heart to heart and to bring Scripture into the equation.
Yeah.
So I just think your passion, your heart is sort of being sideswiped in some of these waves. In fact, on the timeline,
Yeah.
Let me go back to this on your lifeline. On page 8, this is another way I'm seeing the assault. In the far right column, this is on your more current.
Okay.
Well, let me go back. I have never seen anybody put so many major lessons, ideas, beliefs, principles. And, I mean, it was phenomenal. But what I've noticed was they're interspersed. Some of it's true, but some of this is lies from the enemy.
Yeah.
For example, a dad is distant and to be feared. Well, that's not true.
Right,
The Bible has answered. Yes, that is true. But predominantly, I see lies and lies and lies.
Mm-hmm.
And then over on the last column, you have in capital letters, rescued.
Mm-hmm.
And that one paragraph is something I would really focus on, because you have nailed down the truth about you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is coming for you. He's paid the ransom. He's defeated the demons. He clothes you with his righteousness. You belong to Jesus. Your heavenly Father loves you. He delights in you. He likes you. You're not a mistake.
Yeah.
But then right after that, it goes right back into no job, no ministry. There's no purpose in your life. So I'm just thinking there's a big assault here that's come in the form of lies. And I noticed one of the books you like was from Neil Anderson. He talks about identifying the lies and replacing it with the truth. And I think these pages would be a very good exercise just to stay tuned to this and make sure you're not really falling prey to these things.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and I think the last thing I have to say, this is just a recommendation. Are you familiar with John Lynch?
No, I'm not.
I'll try to send you a link. He's got about a 40 to 50 minute message he's given called The Two Roads, and he's got a book called On My Worst Day. And they both speak to the freedom that we have in Christ. And I'm just wanting you to experience more and more this freedom to be who you are, to live in his delight in you the way he made you, and not to feel in so much bondage to do things that they're good things, but they're not you.
Yeah.
And to learn to really trust your own heart. He put true godly desires in you, and I think he's just chomping at the bit to see these come out of you and to see you, you know, walk away from so much of this bondage that's, I think it's, you know, some of it still has its grips. I mean, you know, that's true for all of us. We wrestle with it constantly. But I would love to just see you just let loose and say no to things that they're good things, but they're not you, and spend much more time connecting with people and really getting into their heart and life and speaking truth and watching them walk away with a hunger for more of God and to plunge more of the depths of his glory. I know, that'll make you just come so alive, and it'll be so good for the rest of the body, too.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all.
Thank you, John.
Sam?
Okay, this is Sam.
Yep.
Just a few different comments. One is you've had a very difficult life, and you shared some of the difficulties with us. And I want to say that a difficult life does not disqualify you for being able to be having a life of significance, glory, brilliance, weightiness. I think, in fact, a difficult life often especially qualifies us. You know, an author that Gary, John, and I all love, a guy named Oswald Chambers, once said, sorrow burns up a lot of shallowness in a person. Suffering burns up a lot of shallowness in a person. And I think that Gary, John, and I would all say you're very clearly a deep person. I think that, you know, the difficulties in your life have actually qualified you for something and not disqualified you. And, you know, one of my favorite passages is 2 Corinthians 1:4, which talks about God comforts us in our affliction.
Yeah.
So that we may be able to comfort others who are in any affliction with comfort that we ourselves are comforted by God. I think God has allowed some difficulties, but then God is comforting you. And it says here, so that we can comfort others who are in any affliction. I think God has allowed some of this to give you a heart and a compassion to connect with people and to comfort them with the same comfort that you received.
Yeah.
I think that you have a terrific weightiness. I said at the very beginning, I always like when you give feedback on The Secret Garden. I mean, I even texted that to you a couple times. I said, I love it when you say something, Gina.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even today, as we ask questions, you give very thoughtful answers. We'll ask you a question. You'll pause. You'll consider it. You'll choose one word, and then you say, no, this is a better word.
Yeah.
Which is terrific. I mean, we really appreciate that. That's a person of depth and character and substance. So I think that going along with your caring for people is there's a thoughtful caringness, a sensitive caringness, the ability to say, no, that's not the right word. This is the better word because I really want to get at the real issue.
Yes.
And that's part of your glory, significance, brilliance, weightiness. I really do believe so. I think throughout Gary's book, but also throughout this online calling workshop, we'll focus on two different things. Some are calling related, you know, what is your glory, what is your passion, those kind of things. We also have some sections to talk about your character. You know, I can't remember if Gary, in your book, do you have a picture of the two paths, the Jeep Trail, where we talk about discovering? But we talked about discovering your glory at the same time your character is being developed. We all know stories of people whose gifting was obvious, but their character wasn't, you know, quite at the same level, and then they flame out in a big scandal, right?
Sure, yeah.
So in other words, they're further down the path in their gifting than their character can support.
Okay.
I would say for you, I think that God has really done a lot in your character. And in a certain sense, you're further down your character life, and we're hoping to sort of catch your calling up to it. So you keep saying you're a helper. You like to help people. And I think that's terrific. I really do think it's terrific. I think that was part of God's character building in you, is to want to just care for people and help them. And even if you're helping them by organizing a classroom or helping them by being a janitor, I think that God's let you do those things.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch MASH, the TV show, M-A-S-H?
Yes, I did some, yeah. Yeah.
There was a character on that called Radar.
Yep.
And he was a guy that just did everything for everybody. He was a helper. He was the ultimate helper.
Yep, he was.
I guess I would say, Gina, you're no longer Radar. You're one of the surgeons. I think God is saying, I think God is saying, I put that helper desire in you, but I don't want you to be Radar anymore. I want you in the surgeon. Not that you're supposed to be a surgeon. This is metaphorical, you know, but... It would sort of like be King David, saying, hey, you know, I'm just a servant. I'm just a helper. I should just stay here with the sheep. And God's saying, no, I'm calling you to fight Goliath. I'm now calling you to be a shepherd of the people instead of just a shepherd of the sheep. I've got a different kind of helping in mind for you.
Yeah.
And there was a time that you were supposed to be in with the sheep.
Yep.
But that was a training time. And I feel like, Gina... There was a time where God's saying, you know what, Gina, that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be maybe doing some of this janitor work or doing some of those things. And I think God is saying, now that I've instilled that helper character in you, I want you to help them in a different way because you're going to do it out of a right spirit. You're safe to be able to do this. But you're not Radar anymore, and you're not David with the sheep anymore.
That's good. Yeah, that's helpful. Mm.
You know, we normally talk about what your glory and brilliance is. I'm going to go off on a slight different thing, which is to say, I want to encourage you to pursue biblical counseling.
Okay.
In a certain sense, pursuing biblical counseling isn't your calling. I think your calling is to care for people, to help people, to bring God's truth to people, to see things spiritually, to see their glory and and gets them to believe that they have a glory and a brilliance in your life, even if you don't believe it about yourself, because we're helping you, okay?
Yeah.
But I think the biblical counseling role would be good training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, King David was trained when he was a shepherd. He was trained, you know, God trained him with a slingshot and everything, and that's how he fought Goliath. But really the rest of his war time, he actually used a sword and a shield and a javelin. You know, he actually went and got training for classic military stuff.
Right.
And I say, you know what, Gina, get some training.
Okay.
I say quit doubting yourself. You're not Radar anymore, and you're not David with the sheep anymore. It's time to fight with some more trained weapons. And, in fact, one of the things I was going to ask you is my wife is getting a degree in biblical counseling. And
okay.
I would love to connect you with her if you ever wanted to just talk with her and you guys could bounce ideas off of each other and talk with her. I really am thrilled with the whole idea of biblical counseling. So I want to doubly affirm you.
Okay. I appreciate that.
I guess the last thing I want to say is I do believe, Gina, that God has given you a heart for people to connect. And it's a supernatural gift. It's not just a natural gift, it's a supernatural gift.
Mm-hmm.
And that He wants you to bring truth, but it's a truth with love. It's a truth with grace. It's a truth with compassion, which I think God has formed that grace and compassion in your heart for people.
Yes.
Partly because of your own suffering.
Yes.
And I think God says, I want to resurrect the pain of that to bring in a new life, you know, the resurrected body that is compassionate to people with their wounds, but also has a truth that can free them from the prison that they're in. And I think that's really a core part of who you are. And I want to say, quit doubting it. You know, I really do. I mean, it comes through everything you wrote. It comes through with your stories. It comes through everything. And I want to say, you may not be able to see it, but we do. And so go for it.
Okay.
Gary.
Mm-hmm. Sorry for just coughing in your ear. I thought I was on mute. And then I heard everybody stop, and I went, uh-oh, I'm not on mute. Yeah, that was... Well, I was just, everything that John and Sam said, that was just so good. I just want to confirm what they're saying. So maybe to say some things just a little differently, but the same. So let me start by Gina saying, I also, as they have said, I see your thoughtfulness, your depth of understanding. We don't often see this, honestly.
Right. Exactly.
So it is outstanding with you. It really is. And I just want to address a question you kind of said, I think at the end of your lifeline, and you said just something like, not a question, but you said something like, you know, I hope I've not said too much. I hope this hasn't been inappropriate, or it wasn't. You shared your life in such an honest, articulate, and honoring way. First, thank you, as we said in the beginning, and secondly, you did such a great job. I mean, hearing your story the way you wrote it made me think about my own life more deeply. It wasn't just passively listening to a story and go, oh, that was good, but it made me honestly think about my own life. So it is outstanding.
Okay.
These are just general comments, and then I want to get into the category of glory, assault, and development as we've been talking. I'm very taken by the fact when you said, and I think Sam, you brought this up, or no, maybe it was you, John. Anyway, this idea of wanting to meet people at their area of their deepest need. There's something that's very weighty about that statement and feels very true, because it doesn't sound like a traditional statement. A generalized statement. I think that is true of you from reflecting, reading the things you've sent us. The other thing that, you know, there are other statements, just phrases that I just want to pull out that hit me as I was reading it. You talked about in The Hiding Place, you had this phrase of whispers of hope.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I sensed kind of God going, this is very particular to her, that phrase, whispers of hope. And I just think that's what you do. You whisper hope. You had quite a few times where you use this idea, especially in that whole idea of the passion themes and movies and books and speakers.
Yeah.
I love that you said love versus evil, not good versus evil, love versus evil. I don't know that I've ever seen that before. And that to me is very striking about you. And the last thing in general statements is you talked about this idea that you said, I am deeply moved by the sound of instruments blending together.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that hit me. There was a weightiness to those words that I thought, oh, this is part of who Gina is. The understanding of how things blend together, instruments, if you will. And then you said at the end of your statement, you said, because you're saying you're fascinated how Scripture does this. It's the blending of so many stories and so many writers. But at the end you said, the song each heart needs to hear.
Yeah.
And I think you have this unique ability to blend things together so that it then creates a song that each heart needs to hear. Now, obviously, God does this through his word.
Yeah.
But I think he's given you this unique ability to do it yourself. So let me get into the specific category of what I think is the glory, the weightiness, the splendor, the brilliance of your life that God has given you for others. Let me just read what I wrote here. So let me say that it's obvious, to me it's obvious, or it feels obvious, that when you interact with people, what you don't simply want to be is a toxic dump facility, you know, where all the toxic materials they have been given or produced over their life, they get to come to you, dump it on you, and they walk away and they have a clean facility now. You know, they're it's kind of cleaned up. And I can tell that's not your desire. I mean, you're not afraid of people's toxins, but you don't want to just become dump it and go. What I think is truer of you, and again, you said this in so many ways, but my words would be you want to help people develop a life with God of pursuing healing and wholeness.
Yeah.
That if they don't leave your presence at some point, but fairly early on, where you know there now is a life of pursuit with God and to healing and wholeness, that's just not fulfilling. Because then all you've been is a toxic dump facility where they get to feel a little more cleaned up and better.
Yeah.
So for you to create in a person a pursuit and an initiative to pursue God, that's what you do. I think it emanates from you. So what I would do is I would get three of your words, your list of five, and I would put them in this order. I'm saying that I think this is core to you. The three words I would put in order is number one is learn, number two is influence, and number three is encourage. Because in your picture exercise, you used a lot of this idea of pursuing, being alert, analyzing. I'm just looking for where I had put this list now. So I do think that you love to pursue, you love to learn.
Oh, yes.
So I think, one, you get with a person, I think your automatic on switch, what you're always turned on to is you're learning about them.
Mm,
and you're also putting what you're seeing against Scripture, kind of. I need my reference point is Scripture, but I'm looking carefully, analyzing, alert, those kind of things. So it's learn, and then I know you want to have an influence in their life, not just simply for them to walk away feeling heard, but you want to have an active influence in their life, and ultimately I think it is encouragement is what you want to deposit, the encouragement to pursue God, healing, wholeness. Now, you really said this in one of your kind of calling manifesto sentences, because we asked you kind of a number of different ways and places. Well,
yeah.
The one quote I pulled out where you said, speaking biblical truth into the lives of others so that they might see glimpses and graces of his glory in their life,
yeah,
even in the midst of great spiritual struggles.
Yeah.
So I do think it speaks of learning first in order to have an influence, in order to deposit encouragement, that they would pursue God and healing your life, that there's hope there. So I said you impart hope and intentionality in their pursuit of life and God. Now, I want to say that I want you to think about this. Biblical counseling, we're all affirming, saying, yes, we think this is the effect of your life, that this is the role, your spiritual role. Mm-hmm. But I want to encourage you to go after, but beyond the title of spiritual or of biblical counseling, what's the effect underneath biblical counseling? Because biblical counseling, that's a big term.
Yes. And I didn't really like using it, but I couldn't. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and I'm sure each word individually was very descriptive, counseling and biblical.
Yeah.
So as I'm listening to you and I'm listening to the feedback that John and Sam are giving you, I'm asking God, what would be a picture of what that effect may be? And the picture that came to me was of a physical therapist. And a very close friend of our family is a physical therapist. She's trained by this. This is what she does. This is her living. And so I've got to watch her over the years of, you know, how she watches a person, therefore she analyzes, therefore what she prescribes, what she does with them. And a physical therapist, their whole goal is to get the person the restoration of life, right? So they can go back to what they are made to do.
Yeah.
And so I would put the word spiritual therapist. I do think that what you do is you look at a person, because like I'll watch her and she'll do that with people. She's done this with my wife, where she will just, I'll be watching her, watching my wife, the way she walks, the way she sits, the way she gets up, and the whole time she's analyzing. It's all data.
Mm-hmm.
And then she can say, okay, I have a good feeling. I have a sense of what's going on. Do you have pain in this area? And she'll go, yes. So she's watching carefully, and then she'll do some physical therapy, some actual manual manipulation to relieve the pain, put some things back into place. But the whole idea of, okay, so now you should be able to move correctly on your own now.
Yeah.
And sometimes she gives instructions of, you know, you're walking incorrectly. This is how you need to walk. You need to do this, physically force your foot to go onto the floor in this position and so on. I just think that was a picture that came to me of you.
Yeah, that's
of
good.
What you do.
Very helpful.
Mm-hmm. I would pick the picture that I would pick from your exercise that I think most describes who you really are, the glory of your life, what you bring to this world, is the picture of the ship that's anchored in a calm sea with a stormy sky above it.
Yeah.
And the words you put on that is strength, stormy calm, and scent of the sea. I think this is what you do. You can step into a stormy life, help bring calm there. You see the person's strength, and you give them the scent of the sea where they want more.
Yeah.
And you're not the sea. God's the sea, but you're giving them the scent, and they're going, okay, I want to pursue that.
Yeah.
I think that's a picture of the glory of your life, your calling. Okay, so real quickly now, when it comes to the assault, these guys have already – I agree with everything they've said. You know, you have a tendency to do whatever other people need you to do. And it's we all can do that, but you've been applauded there. You're good at it. And that especially works in the church world. And being discerning and to the point that you can say, you know, I could do that and I'd love to help you, but it's best if I don't. So therefore I'll choose not to help you. It's not that I can't, but I have to choose not to, because someone else is made to help you in this, and this is not the primary contribution of my life anymore. I think God is focusing your life to do just what he has given you to do, and you only. The other thing, when you mentioned the statement, it was is an answer to somebody's question. You said, you know, I'm one too many. That was kind of the sentence in your life with your large family.
Yeah.
Oh, that hit me. And I think that's probably one of those accusations that the enemy keeps trying to play on you, that, you know, you may be in the family, but the truth is you're one too many here. You're kind of in the way.
Yeah.
So I don't have much for you to do except to stay out of the way. And as we're saying, oh my goodness, Gina, you are so needed. It's not even a question of your being needed and how. So,
yeah.
Okay, so now development. Let me hit development real quickly. I would say, as you, we've all encouraged you, and I'm that voice with everyone else, you need to pursue, you know, further training, you know, how to use a javelin versus just a sling, as Sam was saying, or even, you know, like different approaches, like John Lynch talking about grace and how does that really play out in your life and in your story and so on. So I would say what you need to do is really discover as best you can in the moment, what is the approach, the biblical framework, the worldview that you are to pursue in your skill as a counselor, maybe a spiritual therapist or whatever you put to that.
Yeah.
Don't pursue any program that happens to be available or inexpensive or someone you know. Because
okay.
every place has their specific approach, training, worldview. And even if it's not accredited, because I don't know, you know, maybe it would be good for you to eventually become a counselor and have an office and a practice. I'm not so sure that's it, to be honest.
Right. Yep. I agree.
So accreditation is not the issue unless you really feel like I want to be a full-time counselor, have it be a paid profession, therefore you need to become accredited, you need to become licensed. And you may. I'm just not so sure about that.
Right.
But there are a number of people who have, in fact, next Thursday, we're going to bring four of them onto the online or to the Campfire Conversation. And these four people have all gone through Dan Allender. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's written a bunch of books. Dan Allender.
Oh, yeah. I read one of his books, Again Through Grace University.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Right. Right. And then also, you know, he's written the Sam, what are they? Not the Broken Heart, the Wounded Heart.
The Wounded Heart.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he's got a one-year certificate program that four people who are one in the Secret Garden and four or three in the base camp have all gone to this program, and they just said, it's a life changer. And it's all designed to help a person have the skills to help others in the midst of their world. None of these people are counselors. Well, one is wanting to go into counseling. That's just an idea for you. So I would say, yeah, I think that God is saying, you know, Gina, I want you now to focus your life and do that one thing in the midst of your ability to do many things. There's one major contribution in your life, and this is it, this idea of counseling, entering into a person's life, all these things that we've said. So anyway, we're all standing here applauding you going, absolutely, you know more about who you are than you think you know. You have a pretty deep understanding of your own heart and story.
Yeah.
So
you just don't believe it. But we believe it for you.
And you've seen Mr. Holland's Opus, right?
Yes. I haven't watched it recently. Good one.
Okay. So there is a line in it. If we had done an on location workshop with you, we would have played this clip. But there's a line where Mr. Holland says to Gertrude Lang, he said, "Look, it's already in your fingers and in your head and your heart.
Yeah.
You just don't trust yourself to know it." And there is so much authority there, as Sam was saying, that you're just not trusting yourself to know yet. And God will give you more, but it's there. We're seeing it. We're three witnesses in your life. Mm-hmm. So, you guys, any final thoughts as we conclude this feedback and recording?
I just want to say it's been a delight, Gina. It's been a delight
yes.
to get to know you more and to talk with you, and I want to thank you.
Mm. Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it any better than that as well. This has just been, it's been our pleasure and honor. It really
right.
has.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, I appreciate, it's been very, just very good. And I appreciate just the input of three different individuals and the joy along the way. That's really important, I think, as followers of Christ. We can talk about very weighty things, but they're the joy that he gives us. And all three of you exemplify that, and so I appreciate that very greatly. Because we can, like I said, some of these things can be very heavy, and my heart can grow weary, and yet when we bring the joy of the Lord into it and what he's doing, that is good, you know? That encourages us.
Yeah.
Us on.
Yeah.
So thank you
good.
For that part. Yeah.
And so, Gina, just because we've done feedback and we finished the online workshop doesn't mean we're done being friends or talking to each other. So we're just so glad that you're in the secret garden, and we'll just keep talking and helping each other, okay?
All right. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. And I will